Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we're on a mission to review every horror movie ever made. So stay tuned for a spoiler-free review and content warning, and listen after the timestamp in the description for our full thoughts, spoilers included. But join us today as we watch The Parenting from 2025. This was directed by Craig Johnson, and from what I saw, he's directed a bunch of comedy movies and TV episodes, no surprise.
Yeah.
Because this is a very much a comedy horror. Like,
yeah.
It really leans on the comedy side.
Yes.
But I think this is the first horror movie he's directed. How do you like that intro, by the way?
I thought it was great.
Finally decided maybe we should set this up better for people listening. Maybe that would make sense.
Yeah.
But we saw this movie kind of randomly. I think it was being pushed. Oh, it was a trailer in front of White Lotus,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is this? Because the cast is like super stacked in
it's
this.
It's crazy.
And it feels like they're definitely trying to grab certain people. Like you, when you saw Lisa Kudrow,
oh
you were
God.
Just like, we're watching
yes.
this. Like, it's that easy.
That's my girl.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I love Lisa Kudrow.
Isn't Friends on Max?
I think so.
Those fuckers. They got all that little analytical data. But it looked good, so we just figured, why not? Check it out. Can always use more horror comedies. And I thought this was really good.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, and I thought it was really funny, and it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, not to be, like, too disparaging, but it does feel like, I don't need to say that.
Why?
I'm just going to say it's kind of disposable, but, like, in a good way.
Disposable is probably not a nice thing to say.
It's definitely more comedy than horror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the horror stuff is still, it's good.
Yeah.
It's effective in some ways maybe too effective,
yeah.
Which we'll get to a little, but it's mostly a comedy, and it does that really well. Like,
yes.
it's funny.
Yeah.
All the different actors in here, they all work really well.
Yeah.
The movie is about this couple, Rohan. Is it Rohan?
I don't know.
It's this couple, Rohan and Josh, who are traveling to an Airbnb that they rented that's like a big mansion because they are having their parents meet for the first time. Very simple setup. You can already see where the drama could come in because they haven't met their parents at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But they give you a little stinger in the beginning that there seems to be some kind of supernatural force at work in this house, because in the little opening thing, it's not a spoiler, this is how they set it up. You know, this is where the horror comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scene from like the 80s where there's a family living in this house that gets attacked by these weird demon things with dirty little hands, as they say.
I think specifically dirty little person's hands.
Yes. It's the perfect description. But they get attacked and killed by whatever this is. So that is kind of our setup. And then, of course, when they get there, you have Parker Posey, who is really just killing it right now.
Yeah, oh my God, she's so funny.
Yeah, she's so great in White Lotus right now.
Yes.
What is that line I've heard you play on TikTok like 1,000 times?
I can't even remember. It's like, no, tsunami.
<Yeah. laughs> Perfect
Buddhism.
Rendition.
Okay.
Perfect. But it seems like she is just a fucking weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, there's like some good foreshadowing when she's like, they catch her drawing like a circle around the house with a stick.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But that's basically as far as the plot goes. That's the setup. How do I present this? Do you want to talk about how gay the movie is? We haven't even mentioned that. I don't really feel like
can
I can.
You the gay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
All right, enough credit.
I mean, you married me.
Sure.
So this movie is very gay.
Yeah.
Like, on purpose. I don't want to say on purpose.
Accidentally very gay.
Accidentally gay. Yep. I think it's really awesome. They do set up this movie where they're like, no, it's a gay couple. They are together. They are gay. And this is where the story is. And it's like refreshing almost and funny in a way where it's like, look at them doing normal couple things and being in love. How beautiful is that?
Well, they definitely, they have some humor around the fact that they're gay. But it's like, yeah, it's good. It's like, I wonder at this point how much we need to point this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it is just treated as like they're just a normal ass couple in this. Well, I guess it's nice to see it depicted that way, as like not being the butt of all these jokes and just being normal.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's really awesome. I think this is something we need to see more in film, because love is just love.
Love is love. There we go.
It really is.
But everyone, including the two of them, I don't know if I've seen them in any other movies, the actors playing Rohan and Josh. They're great, even though Josh winds up being like the most awkward character ever, to the point of being like hard to watch. Everyone's very fun. Josh's parents, Lisa Kudrow and Dean Norris, of all people, they feel very much like middle class salt of the earth American. Yeah, like there's lots of jokes around that are very funny. Yeah. And then Brian Cox and Eddie Falco are like the very upper class retired lawyer. Edie Falco, sure, sorry. What did I say? Did I say Eddie?
Eddie?
Edie's probably right.
Yeah.
They come in seeming very much like this snobby upper class parents who are very judgy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see immediately where the comedy would come from with all that.
Yeah.
Great. But it does good. I think all the characters are really funny. And when the horror comes in, it's definitely like, I wouldn't call this like a capital H horror movie. know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
It's all kind of silly, but it works well. It's still like...
Well, I think it's kind of like Goosebumps. Like, it reminds me of like adult Goosebumps.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I think that's definitely the vibe.
I feel like it's really reminiscent of this book. Welcome to Dead House.
Yeah. Sure. I did not read Goosebumps because we were poor.
Got it from the library.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember that as a series. Whenever they'd have those book fair things, mm-hmm. everyone would be buying stacks of Goosebumps and I'd be sitting there with nothing.
No, I didn't get to buy Goosebumps, unfortunately. I just got it from the library.
I guess I should have done that. I should have used the library more.
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe it, though, like adult Goosebumps. As far as like content warning, though, if you were wondering, does the dog die?
Oh,
yes, it fucking does.
Yeah,
I think they kill the dog twice.
And you see
well,
part of the body.
Yeah.
I think that's important to know.
It's the thing to point out is that you don't actually see the dog getting hurt. It's like off camera, but it's still like pretty extreme in a way that I was like, wow, I can't believe we're doing this in 2025.
It was shocking.
Yeah. So that's something that bothers you. But the main thing, though, I guess seeing it as an adult is when, let's just say that one of the older characters gets possessed. I don't know if that's a spoiler. I think that's in the trailer.
Did you just say someone
fucking
gets
Brian
possessed?
Cox gets possessed. You see it in the trailer.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever. It's not like it's some huge surprise
in
the plot or anything.
Well, no, it really isn't a surprise.
But when he's kind of going through it, there's this like interpretation of him going through like dementia and failing health, and that's kind of how the other characters are interpreting it before they know that there's fucking demons involved.
Yeah.
And that is like, it's actually like pretty real.
Yeah, I think it was really effective, and I just think it's important to point out in case, you know, you may be going through that or have a family member that is going through that and that's sensitive for you right now.
It's important to point out because if you're just going into this hoping for like a very lighthearted comedy and get hit by that, it can really be a vibe killer. But but it's not like, it's not too extreme. Because then it's not long after that, they're like, oh, he's possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
It just kind of changes the tone a bit.
Yeah.
But I like this overall.
I do too.
I thought it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely, it was funnier than I expected it to be. We were laughing the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time. That's on Max right now.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out if you want something more lighthearted. But do you have anything else?
Nope.
So let's get to the spoilers. I think the worst thing I could say about this movie, honestly, is that it is kind of predictable, I guess. It's a kind of formula that, like, if you know what it is going into it, like, that's exactly what the fuck it is.
Yeah, but I think that's almost by design, too. Like, I think it's taking in a lot of, like, horror tropes. You know,
that's why I'm saying, like, that's the worst thing I can say, because at the end of the day, it does that really well. Yeah. Like, it's a really good one of those. It's just not, like, super surprising what you're getting here. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that I am lured by a good cast like this, because usually you try to avoid that. You know, you see these movies come out with these super stacked casts, and they're definitely relying on that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little iffy what you might get, you know, Borderlands. Yeah. Like,
yeah. But I think the cast here, it's really good. They have really good chemistry. All the characters are really funny.
Yes. So while we were watching it and, like, Lisa Kudrow finally popped up, I, like, got emotional.
Yeah. You are ridiculous.
Look, I am in the middle of something right now. I don't know. I think she was such, like, a huge part of my childhood, you know? Yeah. And so it was really cool to, like, see her there and being so silly and funny. She is.
It's just funny how they can get people like you. It's like, let's just put her in here and she just says something funny every now and then. And you are cracking the fuck up.
She makes me laugh so hard. She's so funny. Yeah.
It's like perfectly formulated for certain audiences. But I thought the main characters, I mean, it's so important for their chemistry to work out and for you to believe the romance and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a great job with that.
Oh, yeah. I think they did a great job showing, like, a blossoming, complicated relationship. Like, not so much complicated, but complex.
Yeah, and I really like how it feels like there is this shift in these movies where, you know, obviously they got to introduce some conflict at some point, and you start seeing that between the two families clashing and the expectations, you know, and maybe the fact that, like, because Rohan, I don't know if it's Rohan or Rohan. I think it's Rohan. I think it's Rohan. So Rohan makes it very clear, you know, he's adopted into this upper class family, and they seem to have these, like, really high expectations and everything.
I'm trying
so hard to drink that tea as quietly as possible. it's okay. So he really wants his boyfriend Josh to make a good impression. Mm-hmm. But I like that they set up in the beginning, even with all that going on, the fact that he was planning on proposing to Josh, it kind of sets up that, like, yeah, they're really in love. They're really close. And you see that because even when, what I'm getting at is when the conflict starts popping up, it never feels like they're taking it out on each other. Like, they're always still on the same side. It's, like, very positive depiction of this relationship. You love to see it.
Yes.
And even by the end of the movie, they really go out of their way to make every single person, like, very likable. Because even the rich family member, like, Brian Cox ends the movie with realizing he needs to communicate his love to his son more.
Yes.
And Edie Falco, she gives this, like, really good justification to adopting and, you know, giving these people a good life and taking care of them. And that's where her, like, high expectations come from. So it's like, okay, everybody is a pretty good character.
Yeah.
So all positive vibes here, which is cool. But the horror stuff, like, it, you describing it as being like goosebumps is just perfect. That's the best way, because I was trying to think how to frame it, because it is kind of silly.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, it's a little scary, you know, in that way that stuff was. It's kind of like, you know, remember in I Saw the TV Glow when they showed like their perception of the stuff when they're a kid versus an adult?
Yeah.
And how it changes. It still feels like weirdly menacing a little bit.
Yeah. It definitely still has that vibe, because, like, I would read Goosebumps and get scared. Like, it would be scary. It would be cool, but it would be scary sometimes. Or even just watching the show, it would still scare me. And it brings back this, like, weird nostalgia of being scared like that as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all those, like, ghost characters with their mouths covered up and stuff. They just look kind of creepy in this weird way.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool at the end when the demon actually comes out and it's that big fucking like raven-headed thing. That looked like some actual like serious horror shit. I was like, oh, this is cool.
It looked really cool. All the effects were really cool. They're very reminiscent of like Goosebumps.
The way the ending plays out, like it gets very silly with the the ghost or the fucking demon going between different characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're trying to be all selfless. There's, like, all these weird effects. That's so Goosebumps. It's like, it was a cool ending. It's funny, though, how, like, Josh, his character early on, even though he's ultimately, like, this very likable guy, when they first set him up, when he's, like, first meeting these parents, every fucking scene with him, he is the most awkward, uncomfortable person ever. It is so cringy to watch it. It's so difficult. If you're one of those people who can't stand watching stuff that, like, is embarrassing, you know, it will kill you.
Yeah. It is very embarrassing.
Yes. And sometimes it's like, what are you doing, man? Like, some of the things, because there's the part where he gets so anxious about everything, he decides to take some edibles, and he takes, like, four of them.
Yes.
And it's just like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it's crazy, because my reaction was like, take an edible. And then it was like, okay, not two. And it's like, definitely not four.
No, it's too real. It was just like,
way too real.
If you're already having problems interacting with people, why would you do this? But I thought, like, his acting after this is very funny.
It's so on point.
It's just too accurate. Like, when he's like, he's making the potatoes, and they say something to him, and he's just like, completely gone.
Just glazed over.
Yeah, perfect glaze, yes. But even that winds up being, like, so goddamn uncomfortable, because when at dinner he starts singing and everybody gets into it, it's great.
It is actually really wholesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you have the dirty little
the dirty little person's hand.
I think that made us laugh more than anything.
Oh my god, that was so funny. Because
that's just
the
perfect description.
Yeah, it is. That's like, always what it is. Dirty little person's hand.
That's what it looked like, yeah. But that just feels terrible when he realizes that he took a gummy and everyone just thinks that, like, there's something fucking wrong with him. That was, like, oh, terrible. It's so good at being so uncomfortable like that.
It's so, like, freely understands, like, what that situation is like when you're meeting parents for the first time. Yeah. It definitely captures that anxiety.
Yeah. But I like that even after all that, like, the two of them, him and Rohan, they still, like, make up with each other, and it's still nice. It's still got those good vibes.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet how they showed how close Josh and Rohan's sister and Sarah, and how close they are.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, best friends, and I think that's really cute.
Love to see it.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of this with, like, him acting so cringe, because you said that you didn't really pick up on that he was being, like, cursed or something, or under a spell.
Oh, yeah. You said that during it. I think that's the other thing is, like, it's not even just him. It's, like, everybody is behaving in these, like, pretty awful ways.
Yeah.
And you were saying you think it's from the curse on the house.
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like it's true because
when
they were reading the demonology book, they were saying how this god, like, sows discourse. So I figured that's what he's doing.
That makes sense. I mean,
you have, like, Brian Cox character.
Yeah.
He's, like, yelling queers, like, stuff like that. Rohan's like, he doesn't do that. Yeah. I don't know. So I really think that that's, like, part of the spell, I guess.
But yeah, you said that it might be this actual influence. I don't know if that's ever, like, explained that way, but it would definitely make sense because
everybody was. And poor Lisa Kudrow and her UN noodles.
Yeah.
Oh, noodle salad.
No, what was it? It was like crazy noodles.
Crazy noodles.
That was a good joke.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of different noodles. It's like, it did look pretty crazy.
It did look crazy.
And I like the setup, how Parker Posey gets, like, involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing was she used the Wi-Fi password as, like, the summoning, what do you call that?
Spell, maybe?
The summoning spell that you have to use. It's a good way to make people say it out loud, because we were saying that during the movie that, like, if you rented an Airbnb and you couldn't get the Wi-Fi working, at a certain point, everyone would just be saying the Wi-Fi password out loud just out of frustration.
Yeah.
So that's a funny detail.
Very relatable.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just the scene from the 80s when she's hanging out with a girl in the house and it's just like, let's just cast a fucking spell on them. It's like she's such a stereotypical little goth girl.
Yeah.
But I like the idea. I think you didn't pick up on it that she, like, fell in love with this demon when she was a teenager. Because I think she said something about, like, and this, like, this demon with this sexy body just appeared in front of us. So I think the whole thing is she was in love with him and wanted to bring him back.
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
That's really funny detail.
But it's funny at the end when they defeat him And she's like, oh, yeah, it's crazy how he was controlling all of us. Yeah, that's a pretty funny way to set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It was a fun yeah. surprise. We saw it. It was the kind of movie where we saw the trailer and then it's like a day later we watch it.
Yeah.
And you love it when that works out.
Yeah, the trailer just honestly gave me such a good impression of what the movie was going to be like. I was like, all right, we got to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from the dog death, which when that cabinet fell over on the dog, I was like, wow, they really just did that. And they showed the dog's body like in a box.
I don't know. I mean, the dog did live, but also wasn't a dog missing.
No, that was a
I'm so confused.
It was hard to tell because it seemed like the dog gets possessed and attacks her, and then they throw it in like the dishwasher and it comes back to life or whatever. But it was just like...
It did pop back out of the dishwasher.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, I guess they're okay. But I swear there were three dogs in the beginning and there were two dogs at the end and we just didn't address that. So one of those dogs is gone. yeah. Other than that, a lot of fun.
Yes.
I don't have anything else.
Nope. No, I don't either.
You can go to GhostBeast.com for all our links. You can also search for GhostBeast Pod, and you can follow GhostBeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. I found just the spot. Below Infested and above Grafted.
Yeah, that works.
All right. That's number 77 on our list. You can contact us at podcast at GhostBeast.com, and you can follow us on TikTok and YouTube, where we will be posting. Have you had any recent movies just come out of nowhere that you liked? Let me know. Love recommendations. Bye.